Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Girl Talk y Más. I'm here with my girl, Ana Lee.
Hey everybody.
It's our first episode together this year. We're so excited because we are finally back together. We are getting ourselves back together, guys. Thank you for listening and just always supporting us on all our socials. We love you. We are here with an amazing lady. I am so excited to introduce you guys to Gigi Diaz. Gigi, thank you for joining us on Girl Talk y Más.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here with you guys. I'm so excited to be able to share some time with your community, with you, with your listeners, and to do some girl talk. I feel like you can never have enough girl talk.
Amen. Oh my gosh. Amen. And you are absolutely beautiful. Let me just say, you are so gorgeous.
Thank you. I'm glad you think this is my pajama dress.
There you go.
My pajama dress. It looks like I'm dressed, but really it's like a pajama thing. So it works.
I need a pajama dress that I can rock during my Zoom calls too.
Yes, get yourself a pajama dress. It's soft, okay. It's cuddly, it's cottony, feels like you're in pajamas, but everybody else thinks you dressed up.
Oh, I love it.
I love that.
I love it. That's Gigi's first advice, but she has tons more. Trust me, you guys. Okay, so we're just so happy that you're joining us. And before we get into like learning all about your professional background and everything that you do with Seizing Happy, which we are so excited. And I was just telling Gigi, Ana Lee, that I am definitely one of those people that are always trying to do too much and have too much on my plate. So I'm so excited to talk to her about resetting and reevaluating what we need to do. And I know you're like a lot like me with that, or trying to put all our balls in the air and have everything going. But before we get into all that, Gigi, just tell us like about you, like your background, where you're from, some of your passions, like just tell us a little bit about you so we can kind of get to know you.
Absolutely. So I'm Cuban. I was born in Cuba and I came here when I was about 10. And I'll give you the nutshell version because I don't think we have time for the whole story.
Yeah.
But I worked in television in Cuba. I started dancing when I was 4 years old in Cuba. And then I got recruited to be on the children's show out there. It was called Arcoiris Musical. And then when I came to the United States, I competed in a show called Sábado Gigante.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Like I used to watch that when I was little.
So I competed on there and I won first place, and I was recruited to become part of the participants. Every week they had like a child, like crew of performers. And I got recruited for that. So I continued my learning in dance, acting, public speaking, stuff like that through Univision, all growing up. And then when I turned 15, my mom, who is an absolute badass, opened her own newspaper, but my mom doesn't speak any English and she didn't know how to use the computer. And so I had a really old Packard Bell, and she came into my room one day and she's like, well, we're opening a newspaper, because I went back to school and I got a journalism degree here at UM. UM has a center called the Cubic Center where they do degrees in Spanish. And she went back to school and she got her journalism degree in Spanish. And she's like, so we thought you got a camera and he's going to be the photographer. You have to be the graphic designer because I don't know how to use a computer and you start tomorrow. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh my gosh.
Like, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't have a choice.
So right. Mama said.
Mama said. So what mama says, you do what mama says. So I did. And she hired this little old guy. And in the first lesson he came to teach me, I was instantly obsessed with the graphic design for the newspaper. And within months, I was writing a column for the newspaper in Spanish and in English. And then a couple months after that, I was submitting my writing for other newspapers and magazines in South Florida. I was 15.
Wow.
And I was instantly in love with journalism. I'm like, I know this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I love talking to people. I love interviewing people. Like, this is the shit. This is it right here, right?
Yeah.
I interviewed Carlos Vives. I interviewed Paulina Rubio. I interviewed Cristina Saralegui, which is like the Latina Oprah.
Everybody.
And it was amazing. But then when I got out of high school, I was like, well, I gotta make money, right? Like, I had gotten a scholarship to go to school because I had to, because my mom was like, you better get a degree. and so I was like, I gotta pay for school somehow. So in all of that trajectory of time, I had continued dancing. I was in a singing dancing group called Fresh, where they also continued our training, and we performed on the Disney Channel with Christina Aguilera and stuff like that.
Wow, that is so cool.
I need to see that. Have you had that video?
And you've done all, you were doing all of this so young, Gigi.
Yes.
Holy
yes.
moly.
This is why when these 20-year-olds are like, I'm tired, I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
Same. It's same. I'm here. Like,
hell yeah.
Tired of. So anyway, so I was doing all that stuff. And then when I got out of high school, I was like, I got to get a job, right? Like, mm-hmm. I got to do something. But I had, most of my friends were always older than me. And I saw that they were working. I'll never forget. I had this one girlfriend who was working at Circuit City back when Circuit City was,
yes. City was still happening.
I haven't heard Circuit and City in a minute.
Circuit City, yeah. I'm totally dating myself right now. But Circuit City was what Best Buy was, guys. For the young listeners.
For the young listeners.
Best Buy was a thing. It was called Circuit City. Get it? Because the circuit on all of the electronics. Anyway, she would work there and she would have to close the store. And then she'd have to go do homework. And then she'd have to be up for like a 7 o'clock class at FIU. And I was like, that's low. Like, I don't want to do that. Yeah, so I opened a dance studio. Yeah, working and going to school is hard. Opening a business and going to school is harder. I should have just gotten a job.
Yeah.
So right. That's when I opened my first business, a dance studio called Gigi's Academy that is still open today. We're ranked top three dance studios in our city for the fourth consecutive year. And I did that while I was pursuing my journalism career and going to school. And I started working in TV. So I did freelance reporting. I did sports. I did news. I did a lot of production, a lot of behind the scenes. And eventually radio found me. I was performing with the kids at, I was taking my kids to perform, my Gigi's Academy dancers, to perform at the Marlins Stadium, the original Marlins Stadium back in the day. And I didn't know this, but on Family Day, the Disney Channel was always there. And they would do, like, they had a stage right by the entrance and they would do entertainment, but they didn't perform. So it was just like the road crew on the stage, like mingling with the people. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, how awesome would it be to bring my kids to perform here? So I told them, I'm like, what do I got to do to bring my kids to perform here? I own a dance studio and the kids are great. And they were like, oh, whatever. We figured it out. And eventually the programming director for Radio Disney saw me there because my negotiation was, I'll bring the kids to perform. I won't charge you anything. It'll just be advertising for me. But I have to be the one that MCs for the kids. Like, I have to be the one on the stage promoting what they're doing. Because no one's going to, and this is my second piece of advice, I guess, no one's going to sell your business better than you. And if you don't know how to sell your business, you better learn. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I got to get on stage and I'm the one that has to be there and say, up next, we have this class and we teach it on Wednesdays and we charge this much and the kids are great and take a look and now you can join by calling me or whatever it is that I used to say. Mm-hmm. And so I did that and the programming director showed up one day and he offered me a job on the spot. He's like, do you want to work with our road crew? And I was like, hell no. I'm like, I already have a business. I work in TV. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I think I got time for this. Are you crazy? And he's like, just come to the radio station. Just come by the radio station. And I was like, all right, whatever. I've always been really open to opportunities. Mm-hmm. I learned later on in life the difference between opportunities and shiny objects. But nice. I've always been really open to opportunities. And so that was an opportunity. It definitely wasn't a shiny object. It was an opportunity and it was great. And I went in and I loved it. I loved it. The station was beautiful. The team that they had for Radio Disney Miami was amazing. And so I started on the road crew and within a couple months I was on air. And that was phenomenal. And then from there, I had a moment in time when I was doing radio and television and the studio, and I decided that I should get my master's.
Mm-hmm.
And that
seems like the next step, right? Like,
obviously, right? Obviously, let's go into supreme burnout and go back to school and get our master's and end up in a hospital. So I did that.
Yeah.
No, I literally did do that.
I know. Oh my gosh, burnout. We gotta get into that. But yeah, I know.
Like, so stupid, but. One of the greatest lessons that I ever gave myself, because it's what planted the seed for my current business, Seizing Happy, which is a coaching organization for women entrepreneurs, purpose-driven women, the women out there that want to change the world, the ones that want to do all the things. But the goal with Seizing Happy is to teach you to nurture the business and the woman behind the business equally. Because if you are not well, your business can't be well.
Yep.
If you are not well, your children won't be well. If you are not well, your marriage can't be well. And we tend to put all of those things in front we tend to put all of those things ahead instead of putting ourselves first. And I can feel the mothers that are listening to this cringing right now saying, how could I ever put myself first? What about my kids?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your kids are going to miss you when you're not around. And they're going to benefit more from a healthy, strong, happy mom than from a cranky, tired, overworked, overwhelmed mom. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with Seizing Happy, that's my main focus now, is helping entrepreneurs in general achieve success with less stress and help you to create the blueprint that is customized to your gifts, to your magic, to your abilities. Not, you know, doing what everybody else did, not doing what I did.
Yeah.
You know, my blueprint barely worked for me in the beginning. Shit, I ended up in a hospital. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the goal is to be able to have somebody who can help you to uncover and discover what are your gifts, what's your magic, what's your special uniqueness, and how do we build your business around that? That's the point of being an entrepreneur, is creating something new for you that is going to help you to serve with your talents and your skills, and help, you know, make the world a better place in whatever space it is that you're gifted in, right? Whether it's coaching or cooking or or teaching anything, or graphic design or music, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so that's the nutshell.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I mean, you kind of touched on it right now about going to the hospital. And so I know that this is a really very personal story that led you, you know, to take that step back and to start your program, Rejuvenate, Restructure, and to reset your life for
Reevaluate, restructure, and reset. Yeah.
Reevaluate, restructure, and reset.
Yes.
And so this is supposed to be to have success with less stress. So can you share that experience that led you to creating the program and where you are today with it?
Absolutely. Yeah. This is a crazy story. I always end up sharing it. So when I was working radio, as you know, radio is like top slot is morning radio, right?
Yep.
Which means you're up at 4:30 in the morning on a late day. Mm-hmm. So when I went into radio, I was like, you know what? I got to get the top slot. I got to make it to morning, because that's the definition of success in radio, right? Mm-hmm. So I did that. I worked my butt off and I made it to morning. In television, which I was also doing at the same time, the top success is either like news, that's like the big prime time slot, or sports, because you know, there's money in sports. And so I tried news, and it was really emotionally and energetically draining for me. So I went into sports, and I was doing great. I was covering harness races for the United States Charting Association, and I was traveling to do harness races, and it was really phenomenal. And I was also, obviously, I still had the business, it's still open today, and I was picking up gigs, right? So like voiceover works and, you know, commercials and little things that would come in and out, because, you know, you always want to do the next best thing. You always want to keep kind of busy, saying yes to quote unquote opportunities that end up being shiny objects. And so I learned to differentiate that, and I'll tell you about it with this question. In that process of working mornings, working, the races were in the evening. So we would wrap up the races like at 11:45. And I was getting my master's. So I would study for my master's after I would finish work, sometimes in between. And I was running on fumes, you know. I started losing my hair. I started breaking out everywhere on my skin. Like gross breaking out. Not like, oh, look, a pimple. I'm talking like craters on my back. And I lost my vision one day while I was driving, and I could hear the car zooming past me, and I couldn't see anything. And I was on 95, and I was, it was the most terrifying experience I've ever had. And
your sight just went, like, you just couldn't see anything.
All I saw was black.
In your car, you're on 90.
Yeah. I'm on I-95. I can hear the car zooming past me, and I can't see anything.
So all I could think about
was like, keep the wheel straight, because I knew I was in my lane, and I'm just keep the wheel straight. Like, I'm just holding onto the wheel, and I'm like being super conscious of not moving my hands up or down anywhere, and just like slowly like tapping the brakes and like letting the people behind me know, like, I have to stop. And slowing down and keeping the wheel as straight as I could without seeing where the hell.
How long were you like that? Like, how long did it last?
I couldn't tell you how long it lasted exactly, because it felt like an eternity.
Oh my gosh,
It must have been a few seconds. I don't know. Maybe like a few seconds or a minute. I couldn't tell you. It felt like I was driving on this highway for hours. But I'm sure it wasn't.
Right, right.
I was able to pull over into the emergency lane, and I had water. I'm holding a giant jug of 52 ounces of water in my hand right now. I always had water with me. And so I pulled over, I drank water, and I kind of just what the hell is going on? And I went to the hospital, I went to the hospital and I Googled, losing your vision. And of course I had cancer and a tumor and lupus and all sorts of things. And losing your vision.
Cancer always comes up.
For everything. Please, if you feel sick, do not go to Dr. Google. Just go to an actual doctor. Piece of advice number three. Don't go to Dr. Google.
Keep the advice coming, Gigi. Keep the advice coming, girl.
Please, probably one of the dumbest things I've ever done is go to Dr. Google at that point. Because by the point I got to the hospital,
you're like, I got cancer. Oh my God.
I'm dying. I'm dying and that's it. And all your tests are wrong. And so long story short, because it wasn't just that one visit to the hospital, because I insisted, I'm like, there's something wrong with me. This has never happened before. Long story of a lot of checkups. Is my entire body was depleted. My hormones were completely out of control. It's why I was barely getting a period. Some months I'd skip a period, and it's just because I wasn't with anybody. I was my body was just out of control. My hormones were out of control. All of my levels, all of my blood work came back terrible. And the doctor told me, they're like, if you don't stop and eat right and sleep and take care of your body, you will end up sick. We can't tell you what your body's going to do because the body will react how it will react. Mm-hmm. Everybody's body reacts differently to complete depletion, but your body needs to stop. And so I remember thinking in that moment, I'm like, I'm making great money and this money can't do anything for me. My ratings in radio can't do anything for me. My happy clients at Gigi's Academy can't do anything for me. Why am I even doing any of this shit? Why am I getting this master's degree? I became so aware of the fact that none of what I was doing could help me. None of what I was doing mattered. Mm-hmm. And so when I asked myself, why am I doing any of this? Why am I doing all of this? Mm-hmm. I realized that I was pursuing everybody else's definition of success. Mm-hmm. My mom's definition of success is degree.
Degrees, yeah.
Radio's definition of success is morning show. Mm-hmm. TV's definition of success is either sports or news. I tried news, I didn't like it, and I went to sports. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurship's definition of success is having multiple business. At one point I had two dance studios.
Wow.
I was running two locations. So when I realized that, it made me do a lot of work on me and looking inward and defining and deciding, what's my definition of success? How will I feel successful? Because when you're chasing society's or your parents or anybody else's definition of success, what ends up happening is that there's never enough. You always have to go for the next thing. You're always looking for the next notch on your belt, or the next, big accomplishment, or the next degree, or the next award, or the next something, the next promotion, the next, right? You're never satisfied. And your satisfaction becomes attached and dependent on this new next accomplishment. But when you get to that new next accomplishment, the satisfaction is huge, but for how long? Mm-hmm. Before you need another thing. Before you need something else, another accomplishment, another degree, another promotion, a fancier car, something.
Yeah, something that's going to
feel accomplished again, to feel good. To feel successful, right? When when the definition of success isn't coming from within, when it's from the outside in, always seeking, you never find it. You never find that happiness. And so I did a lot of inner work. I did a lot of, I received a lot of coaching. I discovered a lot about myself. I learned about manifestation deeper. I didn't realize that I was manifesting a lot of things already. I learned about energy work. I became certified as in Reiki. I did a lot of different things for me, right? For my healing that I don't use in business, that I don't talk about
for you, my clients, for personal. For me.
Mm-hmm. And then I realized, when I got it together and I was able to create my blueprint for success for less stress based on my needs, based on who I am, not on what every guru out there is saying. I got certified as a coach to be able to help other women to do the same, because it's easy to get lost, I guess, in being successful, especially when you're purpose-driven, you know, like mm-hmm. you ladies are both purpose-driven. You're incredibly mm-hmm. successful in what you do. And the goal is in being able to do that without burnout. Yeah. Being able to achieve your big dreams without burnout. But first you need to be able to discern which ones are the big dreams that you have and which ones are the big dreams that rubbed off on you from something or someone else. Right.
Right.
So with Seizing Happy, which is my coaching organization, that's the goal, you know, mm-hmm. Working with purpose-driven women and helping them to be able to really discern what's their magic, what's their gift, what's their uniqueness, and mm-hmm. use that to create their customized blueprint for success with less stress. Not everybody, you know, when I started, I'll never forget when I started Seizing Happy, I was like, okay, I'm going to look at what every successful coach is doing so I can learn from them, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I can learn. And so it's like on one end, you had people telling you that you need like a free lead magnet and you create a funnel with a free lead magnet. So I went out there, I created this badass funnel with a free lead magnet. And then you go and you get another webinar and you sit on other webinars and other free webinars and you learn from everybody. And then the other one's like, no, it's a paid free lead generator. You need like a $7 or an $11 lead generator so that you only attract the people that are already investing in themselves. So you went and I create another funnel. And then this funnel now, this mm-hmm. one's a whole other. And then it's like, no, you need a podcast and the podcast has to be the lead generator. And then you want to interview people so that you get in front of their audience. I'm like, okay, I'm changing my podcast. I'm going to turn it into this. And I was doing all this shit and none of it had anything to do with me. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, and it's like, no, you don't, that's not the way you do business, right?
Yeah.
Like, what am I good at? What am I naturally good at? We're all naturally good at something.
Yeah.
You need to build your business around that. And it's learning the how to do it that I do, right? Like you could know what you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
I know business. I've been an entrepreneur for over 18 years. I can teach you
mm-hmm.
hows of different things, but you're the one that needs to discover the root of how you're going to build everything. And that's what I help within my one-on-one coaching. And that's why I love my approach to coaching being so 360.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a business. A lot of people are out there and they're investing $20,000 in their marketing plan and $10,000 in their social media strategy and all this other stuff. And it's like, what are you going to do with all that when these clients come to you and you have, you know, confidence problems and you have authority issues and you have like all this other stuff within that mm-hmm. you haven't peeled back that onion. Yeah. You're going to get a bunch of clients, but you're not going to be able to retain any of them.
Mm-hmm.
You might not even be able to sign any of them because you don't have the confidence to close them on a phone call sale.
Yeah. And you need that whole, like you need that whole package. And I'm going to tell you what resonated with me when I was reading your background and your bio was like, and I told, like I was telling Annalie, like I'm guilty of trying to do all the things because we have our jobs, you know, our careers. Annalie's a civil engineer. You know, I work in media. We both have our blogs. We're both doing all this content creation, working for brands, you know, doing all this stuff. And your statement was hustle is not the way to the top. And I was like, and I used to think, and I was like, wow, I always like pictured like being a hustler, like hustling is like the only way to get to the top. Like you have to hustle your way up there. So tell me like that statement.
That
I know. Tell me that statement because I want everybody to hear what you have to say about how hustle is not the way to the top.
Absolutely. So we'll just do a fun little exercise about that word.
Okay.
So take a deep breath in. And if you're driving, don't close your eyes. Take a really deep breath in. If you're not driving, close your eyes. And I want you to tell me what you feel and what you see when I say the word hustle. What do you see and what do you feel?
I feel like a rushing, like it has to be like a race. Like
mm-hmm.
I feel like
I feel
like
stressed.
Like I'm accelerated. Like I was like you on the freeway, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
What else do you feel or see when I say the word hustle?
I'm also like, I feel excited. Like it's weird because I feel excited, but I feel stressed. Mm-hmm. That makes any sense.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. like an anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you see when I say the word hustle?
I feel like I'm running.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm running and just running and keep on running. And like, it's never ending. Like I'm on some road.
Yeah.
Like I see myself running. That's what I feel like.
What about you, Annalie? What do you
see? I see for me, I see success, but when I think of hustle, I see success only in the things that I'm truly passionate about for mm-hmm. myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean my day job. Like when I think of hustle, like even though it gives me anxiety, I think of like all my side things that I'm okay. passionate about.
Yeah. So now let's try the alternative. Let's see, take a deep breath in. If you're driving, do not close your eyes. If you're not driving, close your eyes and take a really, really deep breath. And what do you see and what do you feel when I say the word CEO?
Like a powerful feeling.
What
like
else?
A controlled. It's control, weird because like I power. Feel like I'm at a slower pace. Like I'm at like a
see, I feel freedom.
Slow down.
Yeah, like a freedom.
Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
I think I also see my mom's a CEO. So mm-hmm. when I think of CEO, I see my mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see that I
want
have
you,
that representation. Yeah,
yeah,
for me, I see
feeling.
Me representing something. I see me being there. Like when I think of CEO and I close my eyes and I'm like CEO, I see me. Like I see me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel free, which is
yeah.
weird.
Mm-hmm. That's a weird thing.
It's not, and I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
So a hustler is someone who's just making ends meet, right? Like, actually, I think I have the definition of a hustler here someplace. So the definition of a hustler, I think it's in this one. I'll tell you right now, because I literally had a post about this put together.
Wow.
And this is the dictionary definition of a hustle, like not something I came up with.
Mm-hmm.
It is, so a hustler is an aggressively enterprising person, a go-getter, or a prostitute. This is same. Literally online. So when you think of hustler, like when you think of that word, you guys said it yourself. It also says here, one who obtains money by fraud or deceit, one who lures less skillful players into competing at a gambling game, or an athlete who plays with alert energy and aggressiveness, right? So like these are the top three on the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
Yeah, like the aggression. I can feel I can relate to the aggression and like the-
Yeah. So the thing with hustler is that there's no definition of the word hustle or hustler that says successful, at ease, or in control, which are all of the things that you feel with the word CEO,
mm-hmm.
right? And our words are not only magical, but our words are programming tools. And so when you consistently call yourself something that is running, aggressive, intense, anxiety-ridden, never-ending, and rushed, I'm a hustler, mm-hmm. you're going to respond as such to life and to business and to opportunities. And so you're calling yourself a thing that you are not happy being. Mm-mm. Because I can't imagine that anybody is happy being rushed or making ends meet mm-hmm. or, you know, deceiving anybody or doing any of the things that you feel when you think of hustle.
Yep.
Now,
so true.
When I say, can you show up as an entrepreneur in your job as a CEO, not as a hustler?
Mm-hmm.
Can you choose, instead of showing up as a hustler, can you choose to show up with peace, with pace, with control, with foresight, with freedom? Can you choose to do that? Because the answer is yes,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, the problem is that we're given these words because the system realistically is not built, right, to encourage all of us to go our own way
mm-hmm.
and to open businesses. Instead, the words given to us are side hustle
mm-hmm.
or small business.
Yeah.
Do what makes side. My business small?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your words, right?
Mm-hmm.
My business is not small just because it's not making $1 billion, right?
And we always
my
call it side
is
hustle.
A business.
We always do that, Annalie. Side hustle.
Literally, yeah. Like right now, I was like, my extra things. Why is it my extra thing? Mm-hmm. Like, why is it my extra thing?
Well, think about those words too, right? So when I tell you the word extra, what does that feel like?
Mm-hmm.
More work,
mm-hmm. right? Like when you say like, I have extra shoes. What does that mean? I have enough to give them away. It's cluttered. When I say I have an extra computer, it's like, okay, so for sure, the second one's not getting used, right? Like nobody who, I actually do have an extra computer. It's this really, really old laptop that I don't have any access to. Same. That has my first newspapers ever in it. And I have it in that drawer over there and I can't throw it away, but it's extra, but mm-hmm. I can't use it. Mm-hmm. You know, I have extra food. Do you want them? Mm-hmm. There's nothing special about extra, right? So yeah. Is your extra stuff, and what the fuck is stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm like, junk. Why did I say that now? Like, you know, yeah. Now
after stuff is junk.
We have to pay attention to our words.
That's part of what I do in my coaching mm-hmm. with my clients as well, is listen to the way you speak about mm-hmm. yourself, mm-hmm. about your relationships, about your job, about your business, about your clients, about your dreams. Listen to the way you speak about your fears. Everything, because words, the brain doesn't know jokes. The brain doesn't know yesterday from tomorrow. The brain doesn't know any of these things. The brain is a machine that runs with what you give it. Mm-hmm. And when you give it negative programming, and when you give it words that have negative connotations in relation to things you absolutely love, even if you absolutely love them, you're giving your brain negative connotations toward that thing. So is it your business? I have a career. So I am an engineer. You said you're an engineer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Annalise, so I am an engineer and I have a business. I am an engineer and I run a blog. Mm-hmm. Right? So Marissa, I work in media and I have a podcast. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a side hustle. It's not a small business, mm-hmm. because think about it too, with the issue with small business is there is a logistical reason why businesses that make under a certain amount of money are considered small businesses. And that quote unquote certain amount of money depends on who you're asking, because mm-hmm. I can tell you right now that for some of my clients, their business that is only making $5,000 a month does not feel small. Mm-hmm. It feels abundant as fuck.
Yeah,
you know, it feels huge. Oh, I'm sorry. Can I cuss in this podcast?
Oh, of course.
One of my
you
favorite
can.
Things to do is
it is oh, yeah, no, trust me, we drop F bombs all the time. Annalie and I are like twins like that.
You know, so it feels so. Is it small for them? If it's covering more expenses than their last job was, that's not small. That's huge.
That's huge,
right? So when you but regardless of whatever the like definition of small business is out there. For you as an individual and as an entrepreneur, when you say, I have a small business, are you likely to make big decisions for your small business? Are you likely to take big risks for your small business? Are you likely to do big pitches, like big pitches? I'm talking like pitch the biggest company you can think of right now for your small business. Mm-hmm. Chances are, you're not, because you're already categorizing it as something small. So why would you go after Apple?
Yeah,
you're already categorizing it as something small. So why would you go after Netflix? Mm-hmm. Why would you go after Whole Foods?
That's true.
Right? Like my small business, they'd never pay attention to my small business. But would they pay attention to your business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That little tiny word, small.
That small word, the big change.
You know?
Wow.
It makes a huge difference in your mindset and in how you view your business, right? Mm-hmm. And in how you view how you approach your business.
Yeah.
And it's relevant all around, because, you know, when you really think about it, it's like, okay, what other words are we using to describe other really important parts of our life, right? Like your relationship, mm-hmm. you know, what words are you using to define yourself? When you're quiet by yourself, alone someplace, you know, wherever your quiet spot is, and you think of all the mistakes you've made and you think of all the things that you didn't do right and everything that you left undone today, mm-hmm. are you saying to yourself, you know, I did the best I could today and I'm going to go take a nap now, or I'm going to go to sleep and do the rest tomorrow? Are you saying, you know, I always do this shit. I always leave things undone. You know, I can't believe I made that stupid mistake. I'm mm-hmm. so stupid. I can't believe I did that. Right? Like, how are you speaking to yourself? What yeah. words are you using with yourself?
Yeah. And I think that goes into what Annalie was going to ask you last.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess what I've like discovered just so far about myself in this conversation is just South by Southwest related is I mean, I've been going for years and I've had the blog for years, and I don't think I ever took it. I never walked into those rooms, or I never walked in thinking like, I'm a digital content creator and I'm here to, you know, do this X, Y, and Z until this year. And just in the past my weekend, I mean, I went to so many events. I met so many people that I've always wanted to meet. It's funny, I didn't get starstruck as I thought I was going to in some of the instances, but like I people keep asking me how, right? Like, how did you do it? And it is that shift of mindset. Like, I did go into this year thinking like, I went viral on TikTok twice. Like, I have credit, but I also felt like it's because of the credit because of that. But also, I mean, now I'm like, no, I've been working for this. Like, I am this, mm-hmm. and I'm good at this. I can do this. I like doing this. So I guess the question is, so we're all aware of the struggles that go along with being, you know, an influencer. Like, that's another word. Like, mm-hmm. it has such a negative connotation. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that as well, but and managing that as a business. And I mean, I've met so many wonderful people just in the world of blogging and digital content creation. And a lot of these people are so passionate about what they're doing and what they're speaking about. And they're just starting out or have been there, you know, and have been in the business for a while, and they want to go full time. Mm-hmm. So I guess what do you have to say about, you know, influencers, the term, and what advice do you have for all of us out here who are really trying to take digital content creation, you know, to the next level?
Full time. Yeah.
Look, I think that the reason why the term influencer got a negative connotation is because the older generation out there got pissed that we can make money doing less.
Exactly.
And that's their problem, not mine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's an older generation out there that is phenomenal, you know, that runs corporate and stuff. And they are not caught up yet to the new ways that technology has allotted us the opportunity to finance our lives, right? And that's okay if they don't understand that. It's cool. You know, they're necessary in their space. We're necessary in ours. And, you know, and both have equal value. And if you want to call yourself an influencer and somebody doesn't like that word, you have the choice of saying, do I want to work with a person who doesn't like what I call myself? Mm-hmm. You know, or do I want to go work with somebody else? You also have the choice of saying, do I want to think about another word to address myself? You know, you can call an influencer and a content creator could be interchangeable, right? Mm-hmm. So you could say, I am a content creator, you know, or find another word for yourself. You can do that. You can call yourself whatever the hell you want. Now, what's important above all things is that you're putting yourself in the room where your talent, skills, and uniqueness are going to be understood and appreciated. Because you can call yourself a content creator, an engineer, or a podcaster in a different set of rooms where each one of those things will be appreciated or completely neglected. Mm-hmm. You step into a room of artists at, like, I don't know, some place where everyone's an artist, everyone's a creator, everyone is either like in video, or in, you know, painting, or like all, you know, all the hippie artists of the world. And you go in there and you're like, I'm an industrial engineer. And they'll be like, I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
I don't care. You know, like, can you paint this? You cannot paint this. So yes. I don't care what crazy title you have. Right. Mm-hmm. But you walk into a room of industrial engineers and you say, I am an artist. And they'll be like, congratulations, son. You know, like,
yeah,
good for you.
Oh, they do that. Mm-hmm. They do that.
What do you paint with crayons? You know, like, mm-hmm. that's literally how you're going to be approached. So it doesn't matter so much what you're calling yourself. And I don't think it matters either what, you know, how other people think about what you're calling yourself. I think the most important thing is that you're in the rooms where your talent is going to be appreciated, that you're putting yourself in the spaces where you're going to be received for entirety what you mm-hmm. have, for entirely what you have to offer, right? And sometimes that means changing rooms, and sometimes that means changing companies, and sometimes that means changing people, and sometimes, you know, it just means you have to change and move and be elsewhere. And that's okay, because thankfully we're not trees, we're not like rooted in the one place where we are placed. So you can take your strong legs and walk somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
I always say that. If you're not happy, move. You're not a tree.
the hell?
Exactly. And so, and I do want to clarify, it's not just, you know, I'm not saying that it's not important what you call yourself in general. I'm saying it's not important what you call yourself if you're in the right room. It is important that you have some sort of title in your business, right? Mm-hmm. Like you do need to have something that, like, I am a mindset coach for women entrepreneurs. It's clear that it has to be clear that I explain that to people.
Yes.
Because I am not a relationship coach. I can coach you in relationships, but that's not my expertise. You know, mm-hmm. I am not a weight loss coach. I am not a, you know what I'm saying? So like, mm-hmm. it is important that you know what you are and that you define yourself, how you want to define yourself. But I can tell you right now, mindset, for example, is still a misunderstood term, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people throwing it around because it sounds cool and they have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Yep.
But I still have to call myself a mindset coach because if you come to me for therapy, I have to tell you that I'm not the person for you, mm-hmm. right? If you need therapy, you need therapy and I can refer you to therapists, but I don't work in that space. I work in mindset. If you don't know what mindset is, we can talk about it. I can take a moment to teach you what it is and show you the difference so that you know what it is that you need and whether or not you want to hire me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right. So you do need a title, but what that title is really should only matter to you. And it should be clear to your ideal client, but fuck what everybody else has to say about it. Right. Yeah, like okay. That's their problem, not yours.
Yep.
And my word to influencers, if you asked a 2-part question, first you talked about how I feel about the word. And for those that, you know, want to take it in full time, it's all about create your blueprint. What's mm-hmm. your plan? You know, in 2021, I set 2 goals for myself. The first goal was I wanted to buy my first property. The second goal was I wanted to quit corporate. I wanted mm-hmm. to quit iHeart. Mm-hmm. I closed on my property July 16th and I turned in my 2-week letter October 20th, right? If you want to go full time with whatever it is you're passionate about,
mm-hmm.
you just need to A, decide, and B, be strategic about it. Mm-hmm. You know, be resourceful, be smart, and don't approach it like a hustle because you're going to stay in that hustle forever. And don't approach it like a small business. Approach it like this is my next thing.
Yeah.
This is the next thing that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When you look at it like that, instead of like, oh, it's this little hustle, I'm just really trying to take it off the ground. I'm just really trying to get it to work. Just trying to see what happens, you know, just like throwing spaghetti at the wall over here. You're going to be exhausted throwing spaghetti at the wall. You have a dirty wall and you're still stuck in a job you hate, mm-hmm. you know, like if you're trying for people that are quitting jobs that they hate, you know, like some people quit just because it doesn't align with them. Some people quit because they're really miserable there. Some people quit for different reasons. Whatever your reason is that you want to quit, if you're just throwing spaghetti at the wall and you're treating your business like a quote unquote side hustle, like a small business, like an experiment, then you're not going to quit. And you're just going to be tired because now you're using all of your time off to take this thing off the ground that you're not even putting wings on. Exactly. So, you know, what are the wings built of? How far does it need to fly? How high does it need to get? Build that shit.
Yes, build that shit, you guys. Build that shit. On that note, Gigi, I want you to tell everybody where they can follow you. Anybody who wants to have be a part of your coaching services in Seizing Happy, tell them how to follow you, how to contact you for coaching services and everything like that, so we can have everybody contact
you. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm actually in the middle of a really fun thing right now where I'm offering a free strategy call for entrepreneurs. Oh,
great.
Yeah. So I do that a couple times a year. And anyone that's coming from this podcast, if you do land on any of my pages, and I'll tell you what they are in a second, and it says that the strategy calls are closed because I do open and close them throughout the year at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me that you're from this podcast and I will let you in regardless.
So awesome, the podcast, you guys. And you get thank in you, anyway. Gigi. That's amazing of you. Course. Thank you.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you can find me at Gigi Diaz Live on Instagram. That's G-I-G-I, D as in David, I-A-Z as in zebra, L-I-V-E on Instagram. Or you can just go to gigidiaz.com or seizinghappy.com. Those are all the, and you can also follow Seizing Happy on Instagram and on all the media platforms, just Seizing Happy and Gigi Diaz Live across all platforms. And definitely take advantage of that strategy call. That strategy call is good for people who are either A, already running their business and they are looking for a way to level up in their business. So like if you already have a service, you already have something that you're working on, you already have a product and you're just looking to scale it, mm-hmm. that's a really, really great strategy call to see how you can maximize on what you have and scale. And it's also good for people who are starting to create the strategy to quit. So if you want to start building the blueprint to start doing what it is you want to do, then that strategy call is also a good place for those people. So
I'm coming to you. So I'll be in touch.
I'm ready when you are, girl. Let's
yes. And we are following you on all your pages.
Yes, I just followed
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we followed you. We are just so thankful and so happy that you joined us. I'm so glad we connected and found each other really through this. Yeah.
My pleasure.
You are amazing. Thank you so much for sharing everything. We appreciate it. And you guys, this is huge. So if you're from Girl Talk Emails Podcast, make sure you send Gigi an email, message her, get a hold of her, and let her know that you listened to her interview with us, and she will get you in to her strategy call.
Absolutely. And you know, we could do something else. We could do, I feel called to doing this. I am opening a mastermind this year called Unleash Your Inner CEO. And inside this mastermind, we're going to spend 6 months building and structuring, right? And so we go through the three B's, which are breakthrough. So how you need to show up as an entrepreneur in your business to be able to have the breakthroughs necessary to scale your business. We go into branding, which is how your business needs to show up for your clients mm-hmm. to be able to maximize, make more money. And then we go into blueprint, which is how you and your business show up together in strategies and systems so that you don't have to be actively inside your business all the time. So in the blueprint, we talk about lead generation, email marketing, and all of the things that sound overwhelming, but really aren't about mm-hmm. getting more clients and increasing sales. So that's my 6 month mastermind, Unleash Your Inner CEO. And we cover the breakthrough branding and blueprint of business growth. And anybody who comes from this podcast, I will give them a $1,000 discount to the mastermind.
Wow. That's amazing. Yes. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yeah. Oh my gosh, sure. Emily, I'm excited. I wanna have like, I'm like, this is so great. Thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you and your time and just sharing your expertise and your personal story. I mean, you just really opened. I know you opened my eyes. Like I told you, I was already open when I was reading your bio and I was like, wow, I cannot wait to talk to her. I was like, I need this in my life. And I do what I do. I'm always using the word hustle and now I don't want to use it anymore.
I know. I just thought of that too.
I was like, I think I said it like the other day in my stories and I was like, I'm probably not going to say that word anymore. So thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Yes, you guys. So make sure you guys go over, follow Gigi, contact her. You guys, she's giving you a huge discount just for listening and hearing her story on our podcast. So thank you so much. And we will talk to you guys soon. Bye guys.